sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex.
I shared an article with you, Patricia.
When you do that, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, that's a good thing. This is a very interesting topic to me, mostly because, well, I'll get into that. But tell me, when you think of the words gender reveal party, where does your brain go? What's your feelings about all that?
My feelings about all that. The first word that comes to my mind is anticipation. And that's about it.
Okay.
For me, I mean, like, it wasn't a big thing when I was having kids, gender reveal. I mean, when I was having kids, people found out. Now they're swinging back to not finding out, which I think is this thing.
Yeah.
And maybe it's on the tail end of this gender reveal stuff that we're going to talk about. But
right.
I think it's super interesting that the pendulum is swinging yet again.
Yeah. You know,
it's amazing how this happens in our culture, society.
Right.
The pendulum swings back and forth, right?
Exactly. Right. Well, it's interesting. It's things like this where things get carried to this sort of nth degree, you know, intensity. And then kind of some people go, ooh, not comfortable with that. Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I don't think I've ever been to a gender reveal party as such. I've known some people that have had one or, you know, had them. And I've always kind of like in my body, I feel a little about it, but I'm like, I'm excited for them because I know when one of my friends was having it, I was excited for her because she was super excited about it. And she's somebody I see as very open-minded, in just like what her kid would grow up into. But the point they make in this article, so the title of the article, just to give you a sense of where we're going with this, is When Gender Reveals Kill. And I was listening to some conversations pre this article that were kind of about the whole, how do we feel about these parties? You know, well, whatever, maybe not a big deal. It's not like it's going to kill anybody. And then this happened and it was like, oh, wait a minute.
That's
maybe it
amazing.
Does.
That's
so
funny.
Right. So it's just, again, it's kind of how we take something and then we make it so big and beyond, it gets crazy.
Oh, thank you, social media. I mean, put a title like that on an article to make you read it. I mean, like it's like dun dun dun, you know.
Exactly.
You don't see much of the tabloid papers out anymore. Did you notice that?
No, I actually have noticed that.
I went to the grocery store and I'm like, where did all the trash papers go?
Inquiring minds want to know. Where are they?
I read them online at the grocery store and now I have to read like magazines.
Right. I know. What?
I can't get my quick hit news about stuff because everybody gets on the internet now, I guess, is really what it comes down to. But I guess the more I'm thinking about it too, though, as a grandmother, I want to know the sex of the baby because I have shopping to do. There are things that must be purchased. And but is it really that important? I mean,
well,
like,
right.
You know that that's the shift nowadays is
right.
Not to be so binary and to make everything so much more neutral and not predetermine a child's propensity towards Barbies and or trucks, you know, but let them choose who they want to be as an individual, you know,
right.
Some of that stuff is total relearning from the standpoint of an old chick like me.
I think I questioned a lot of that stuff early because I was never the girly girl, right? Like, yeah. I played with Barbies, but not the way other people played with Barbies. And after I played with Barbies, I'm like, ooh, should other people be playing with Barbies?
Oh, dear. Fonzie had a little, be another one.
Fonzie had a lot of girlfriends.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't the frilly girl, so it wasn't the attraction to Barbies wasn't a big thing for me. It wasn't like, you know, ballerina, wear lace. And I didn't really play with dolls, and I didn't do a lot of, like, my skirt, I didn't need a frilly skirt. Now, one that had good flair, so when I spun, then it flew up. That was fun, because it was like, then it was like an event, right? But
yeah, right.
But I didn't need all of that stuff. So I think I kind of questioned, well, why, and I got annoyed with my parents, because I had a fight to get Hot Wheel cars and stuff like that when I was little. Mm-hmm. They didn't fight me on it, but I remember me and my sisters wanted a train race, or it was either a train set or a race car set. I can't remember which, and my parents were not having it. And I don't know if it was a money thing or if it was that's a boy toy. I don't know. I'd love to know what my life would have been like if I would have had a brother. Mm. But I see and I hear conversations about dads who get a little upset when their boys want to go, especially when their boys want to do anything with dolls or any, you know, there's just like this panic. Yeah. And it's such an interesting thing that it's a panic, right? It's not, oh, that's interesting. He likes doing hair, huh? It's, oh my God, nope, not allowed to have that. Don't let him do that, right?
Yeah,
so,
boys don't do that. Girls don't do that.
Right.
Ladies don't act that way. Yeah, right. I can remember my parents saying those things, yes.
Oh God, yeah, yes.
My grandmother especially, yes.
Act like a lady, yes. Oh, I hated that.
Yeah, sit a certain way in church, you know,
yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah, I get it.
Right.
So what exactly was your takeaway from this article? Because there were so many things that I took out of it.
Right. Yeah, there are. There's a lot of things in here. What I think is interesting is I interviewed a comedian from my other podcast, and she, what does she call them? Genitalia reveal parties.
Oh, yeah.
Because really, it's an interesting thing, because I think of what is the purpose, right? We have this binary thing, this pink and blue thing, right?
Shopping. I told you
that. Right. No, and I green and purple are acceptable colors, but that's always been an interesting thing to me, because when I did some research on pink and blue a long time ago, what I understood it to be is that it is actually, the pink and blue concept is actually a Christian construct, and it used to be reversed. So pink used to be for boys and blue used to be for girls. So think about all of these things that it's always, quote unquote, been the way it always has been, but that's not true.
Interesting.
I think it's fascinating to watch how people treat babies, right? So if you, you know, and I get it from being in this culture. Like if I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, I feel myself sometimes not sure how to respond to that. And I'm trying to get over that because I think it's ridiculous, but I know that I kind of do it too. We had a kid in our family we had a family friend who was part of the family. And when she was 6 months old, and the reason I know this is because we had a garage sale in the summer after she was born. So she's like 6 months old, and people would walk up to her and they first thought she was a boy for some reason. And so they, oh, hello, you know, kind of like rough her up a little bit. And they'd say, oh, what's his name? And I'd say, Sarah. And the tone of voice changed, the way they touched her changed, the way they looked at her, the way their body posture changed. I remember watching that going, this is just fascinating.
And wow.
And I'm like, what? All I did was told you she was a girl, and everything you're doing is different. And they would like apologize. And I'm like, well, isn't that fascinating, right? So
are they apologizing for just identifying her?
For treating her like a boy.
Or treating her differently.
For treating her like a boy. They had treated this girl like a boy. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I should have been more gentle. And right? So it's interesting when we're putting this thing on these gender reveal parties. So the whole gender reveals kill is the woman who wrote the article pulled out a few instances where there was a huge fire, like 47,000 acres that the explosion started, that started from a gender reveal party that went bad. The explosion went bad.
But it's not necessarily just the gender reveal party. It's the idea of social media and people one-upping each other, trying to make it more and more extraordinary and viral and get the hits and, you know, get a year of free diapers or some crap like that because their little snippet, their little section of life. This is the part that I am fascinated. I'm fascinated by, because I use my phone for pictures all the time. I document, I am a documentarian. And that says that in the article, that we've become documentarian. That as a photographer, when I went through my photography spell, I much preferred to capture the candid moments that nobody else was paying attention to than be like staging a picture. I wanted real life stuff, you know, like the little kid under the table looking up somebody's skirt at a wedding reception versus, you know, fixing everything just so everybody looked perfect, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But this is the idea of people having to put on a show and garner all this attention through social media. And to the extent that they're blowing things up, I mean,
and people.
So it used to be just about the women getting together and having the bridal shower or baby showers, right? Then the pressure was put on that the men need to be more a part of the baby's lives. They should be there. You know, now it's more of a couples thing. But then whenever you get men involved, things start to blow up.
I knew that was coming. Oh, that's hilarious. There has to be
some sort of tinkering. There's tinkering happens because that they love to do that kind of shit. You know, it's just, so I'm not, and I'm being gender specific and generalizing, but it's really funny to me that these men of this family, it was more than one man, got together and kept making pipe bombs, trying to figure out how to make the explosion produce pink or blue smoke.
Right.
So that the crowd that was around would know if it was a boy or a girl. So how many times did they have to blow things up to figure it out just right?
Right. Right.
How much fun were these guys having in their garage?
Oh, right. Yes, they were probably having a good time.
Yeah. So yay for them. I'm glad that the dads and the grandfathers and the uncles and all and best friends and stuff are all getting in on the shtick, because it is an inclusive, it takes a village to raise a baby. And I'm all for celebrating the arrival of a child. That's great. But, you know, counting your fingers and toes and prioritizing life over death and being there for the birth of your child is probably important.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, and right.
So stupid.
Yeah. Well, and the woman who died was like, I think, you know, she wasn't like the mom or
the
dad.
Oh my God.
It was somebody else. It was the practice pipe bomb that ended up killing her,
yeah.
Right? And then, so, yeah, what's interesting is the woman who wrote this article got a hold of the woman who started this whole thing, not intentionally starting this whole thing.
Yeah, so, I know. That was so
I love
cute.
It. It was a total accident. She baked a cake for somebody else for her baby shower, and then she's like, oh, well, I'm going to get my scans. Hey, maybe I can make a little event out of this. So she got the cake. The actual picture of the cake is just a light pink frosting, right?
Yeah,
it's very light. And then so you cut into the cake, and oh, it's pink. Yay, it's a girl, la-da-da. And then it ended up on, you know, got passed around. And this was, I think, 10 years ago or so.
2008,
that's what it was. Yep. And then they did a magazine article and then it blew up, right? So now it's become this big thing and she's like kind of against it now.
Yeah,
like,
she wishes she had never.
Right, and she did nothing wrong. I mean, it was a cute idea that she would probably remain to be a cute idea. And the other point of to take from this article and to keep going with Danielle, the trans comedian, assigned sex at birth reveal parties is really what this is about, right? It's like, so we know, first of all, how much pressure, and the point they make in the article too, when it comes to who are the people that do this, is she kind of points to that it's heterosexual couples.
Yeah.
And how open are they then if their kid's like, yeah, I know that the bomb popped pink, but I'm kind of like feeling more like a dude. How do we deal with it, and how receptive are they to that? Now, you know, and so it's kind of like, is there a pressure then? And what is it, what does this all mean? And I think it's a really interesting question to ask, because again, we have, what I learned in my sex class years ago was,
was so Minnesotan.
I know, okay, it's sort of sad. is that, you know, what we know is how many people have been hurt by the doctor going, well, it looks more like a penis than a vagina, so let's call it a boy. It doesn't happen often, but it happens often enough. So there's a couple farts. A couple parts. I was trying to say parts. It was a combination of thoughts and parts that go along with this, because there's two things. There's first of all the body, and I spent a lot of time studying gender when I was in school. Mm-hmm. And looking at, there's a number of documentaries about people who were assigned one sex at birth who are not that sex, and it was because of their genitalia not being clear.
Yeah.
So we have to make a decision because this person looks like they have both. So let's cut off the penis and make it a girl, right? So you're deciding.
We don't do that as much now.
We don't do that as much. That is something that is changing. And I haven't heard lately kind of what's going on with that, but that it's been because of these people coming out and saying, not okay, guys. I've now grown up as a girl and now I have to become a man, and I mean, it's much easier to do that in some places, and I have to say in some places, people have to move sometimes out of the city that they're in to go through their transition because it's not safe for them. But we also know that genetically, X and Y aren't always, you know, there's a lot going on that we physically can't see in the actual genitals of a person's body. So the point that they're making is, how dangerous is this, not only in the people dying aspect, but also in the, what are we doing by having this? You know, I mean, I can, oh my God. Okay. If I put this in the context of my own family, if my mother had a gender reveal party and then I grew up and at 15, I went, you know what? Feeling more like John than Judy. Give me my race car set. My mother would be like, you know, I had a party and the bomb went off pink. What do you think the family's going to say? What do you think our friends are going to say? And there'd be a lot of pressure to that. And
yeah. Oh boy. Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and I know there are some people who just look at this and go, yeah, don't care. People who think there's something else are mentally unstable. And so it doesn't matter. So I know there are people that think that way too.
I just Googled.
Yeah.
What do doctors do with a sexually indiscriminate baby?
Yes.
Okay. And it says the medical team will most likely run blood tests to measure hormone levels, do blood tests to analyze chromosomes and determine genetic sexing, XX or XY tests for single gene disorders, mm-hmm. an ultrasound of the pelvis and abdomen to check for an undescended testes, uterus, or vagina, and X-ray studies with contrast dye to help clarify anatomy. So these are all exploratory tests that are done now that were, and in some cases, minimally invasive surgery can be done to collect a tissue sample of the newborn's reproductive organs to make sure that it's being determined. It does not have to be determined in that moment when the baby's born. Mm-hmm. They do need to have an answer for birth records before a child is discharged from the hospital.
Okay.
So using the information gathered from the tests, the doctor can suggest a gender but the suggestion is based on the outcome of those testings, probable adult gender identity, and discussion with the parents.
Okay. Well, and yay. And then also, we think about some of those tests weren't as easy to do.
No, some of those tests weren't even a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, let's think about even just the idea of an ultrasound or x-rays using contrast dye. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a relatively new test. If you really think about contrast dyes,
right,
were not safe to use on adults until a decade, maybe 20 years. But contrast dye had issues with it. You know, it was dye of any kind was detrimental to you. So they would not do that to a baby.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So I think some of it's being exaggerated for the sake of conversation is good. I absolutely think that we do need to talk about that these kind of things happen. But also a whole lot of it comes down to people's choice with their kids. I mean, they're the ones that are going to have to deal with this issue. And when I say issue, I'm using the word very lightly. It is a child we're talking about. And what really comes back to me, and you know, religion comes up a lot in our conversations because it's something that's taught to us. In my sense of religion, you get to an age as a child, it's called the age of accountability, where you know or don't know that something's right or something's wrong, or you feel that something is or something isn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know that calling a boy as an infant and letting him play with cars and trucks, and then at an age of an accountability where he has a realization and his parents need to accept it 5-6 years down the road when they start having tendencies or liking, you know, being particularly drawn to different things or acting a certain way, mm-hmm, with regularity, that it can be seen as this may be an issue or something that we need to look at, or maybe we made a mistake. That's a very private family psychological mistake. Mm. There's probably a lot of shame involved in that, with the parents feeling bad. If they had to choose and they chose the wrong direction, can you imagine the guilt?
Right. Well, and you know, I think even though the mindset of being going, we're going to make the best, maybe it's make the best decision that we can.
Possible in the moment, yeah.
Can we grow? Can we, you know, can we be very open-minded in our house where we're just going to raise the child?
Or
maybe it's you make the decision to call it a boy or a girl, but you know.
And you just call it by its name.
What options are there that are friendly and not cumbersome? And,
a boy named, you know, Sue?
Right.
I mean, like.
Right. Well, right.
Put a link to that song in the
yes, 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 exactly. I should. That's awesome. You know, then there are people who are mindfully raising their child as open as possible with being kind of more gender neutral, letting them choose. If they want to wear, if the boy wants to wear pink, let him wear pink.
And
you know,
if he wants to wear a tutu, or she wants to wear, you know, she wants to climb trees, let her.
Or play dress up, you know.
The idea of diversity and inclusion should be taught from a very young age. I totally, totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. However, the idea of putting so much pressure on parents,
right,
to not be able to enjoy the birth of their child,
right, and that's kind of
what, or a girl,
yeah, no, I don't know how to live in these spaces, and I don't have children, and I'm thinking, if I had kids, what would I do, right? If this came up with this ambiguity, right? Yeah. I think if I had my own kid, I would raise them as whatever they are, but I would be very open to allowing them to do what they want in, you know, let them be drawn to the things they're drawn to, and not like do the whole, well, you're a boy, are you sure you want to take ballet? You know, be like, whatever, let's do it.
How different is it though than having a child who comes out of the closet and reveals that they're gay later in life? I mean,
exactly.
As a parent, we need to just be accepting of our children, right, and loving no matter what.
And I think that is really what the author is trying to get at here.
Yeah,
it is
keep
really
it private.
Right, well, and just the whole idea of, hey, let's, because of what we see, we know things might change, right? Mm-hmm. And so let's just be able to accept that. So the question of the gender reveal parties is, are the people who are doing that, is there a mindset that is so set in stone that is maybe, I don't know, is it not helpful to the child? At the same time, yeah, I don't, is there a need to have a pink or a blue room? I don't know. To me, that's probably a parent thing, right? What do you want to do? To me, that's just my personal choice. I would probably not be all blue and pink. Personally, I don't like the color pink. So, so if I had a girl, she'd be screwed. But I think it is just that being allowed to be, or having the mindset of being open. You know, when you think about, like you say, people coming out of the closet or people who are trans later in life, they see these gender reveal parties and it's a personal thing to them, right? Like I lived my whole life trying to be something I wasn't to make everybody else happy. And at some point I just had to bust through it with the Kool-Aid dude and go, I'm sorry, people, you're going to have to accept it. I'm something else.
Here's the thing. When gender reveals kill, let's twist this a little bit. A few days ago, I had a random cross-dresser email me that he was ready to commit suicide because people told him that he was scum because of how he liked to dress and all of this. And I had to report him as a, you know, I'm a mandatory reporter. If somebody tells me they're going to commit, and he truly was depressed and was suicidal, and I needed to report him. This is like a true gender reveal killing.
Right.
Let's think about that.
Absolutely.
As adults, people can come. And he wasn't revealing that he's homosexual, that he's gay, and that he wants to be a woman. He just wants to dress like a woman. Mm-hmm. And he was being told that he was a piece of shit. And, you know, just, you should die. He was being told, you should just go away and die because you're not worth anything to anybody. How sad is that?
It's horrible.
As an overall culture, from beginning to end of life, we need to just be accepting of people however they present. In any moment, today I could be Patricia Engelking, the female, and tomorrow maybe I want to be a man. And I should just be able to be accepted for however I show up any day.
But it's a cultural thing. It's something for us to explore because it's like, why is this such a big deal? Why is this so hard for us? You know, it's aspects of, because if you notice, men typically are more upset by this whole thing than women. And I was having a discussion with somebody, I don't even remember who, but I was having a discussion with somebody. We were talking about this and saying, you know, I think why it frustrates men more is men and homosexuality, it's so much more scary to them, but I think it's because they don't know who they need to know who they can be sexually attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're attracted, it's like how many guys, if they find out that somebody they're attracted to used to be a man or is cross-dressing, it's not just, oh, wow. It is, they are embarrassed. They are ashamed. Their buddies like totally give them shit about it. And it's why it's not safe. The trans comedian that I interviewed, she has to be really, really careful. She has to disclose very quickly because she doesn't want to ever have a situation where it's potential violence. If somebody finds out too much after they've talked that she used to be a man, that's very, it's dangerous for her. And it's the insanity of that. It's the insanity that it is so unsafe for men in their own head. And by their buddies, how they're perceived by their buddies, right? That, oh my God. So if in a conversation with men, if they see her, this comedian, Danielle, who's an attractive woman,
mm-hmm.
if somebody comments in the guy group that, oh, look at her, attractive, attraction, and then the guys find out that she's a trans woman, then all of a sudden they are fodder for being made fun of. That's the problem, right? So we've got these things going on, and I think women are much more accepting than men in most cases because it's a threat to their sexuality. And I keep trying to figure that out. I made the mistake in my men's group of trying to have a discussion about male privilege. by a trans man. I showed a video and there were people pissed, angry. Okay. Not just annoyed, angry and offended. And like, basically that person has nothing to tell me. They are mentally ill. I have nothing to learn from them. And I still remain in a place that I just can't even comprehend that that idea still remains in people's bodies. So I knew it was going to cause a little bit of an uproar. I didn't think it was going to be as big as it was. And so to me, that's just a fascinating, like, trying to understand from that person, why is this so offensive to you? This is a person who is no threat. They're on screen, but you're physically upset about this. What threat are they to you? And that's the question that we have in our culture. And that's what this person, by writing this, is trying to, I think, just, we're trying to normalize that, right? So these things don't happen. And that's where the gender reveal party question comes in, because it's bringing it back to that binary. So my question is what order are we making? We're trying to make order of the universe by gender reveal parties. That's
not our job to do, right? To make order of the universe. We have no control over the universe at all. And so I think it's really funny that we try to categorize things that way. But again, I go back to, this is our human experience. This is the way that we are each individually living our lives and making choices in every moment. And that's really what it comes down to, is showing up 100%, being the best person you can, not taking things so personally. You know, it's like some people just kind of need to lighten up a little bit, and other people need to open their minds quite a bit. So there's just so much room for growth in this area of acceptance and diversity and inclusion. Yeah, there's room to love everybody. Everybody should be living a life of loving. How is love shown? And if you're working through it in love, if showing love to your newborn baby that's coming means painting a room pink, then so be it. I don't see, you know, a lot of people that are going down this road of non-binary and really, really pitching a fit about it, I understand that they have a right to be called whatever they want. They, them is not a natural pronoun for a lot of people to use. Right. Mm-hmm. However, we can call you Susie or John or whatever, and just use your name instead. And that's okay. We don't have to. Not everybody has to acknowledge the they, them. If we just don't use he, she, and we use your name instead, I think most people would be satisfied to hear their name.
Mm.
I mean, we all like hearing our name. That's a scientific fact, that our name is one of the things that we love to hear the most. If you listen to confidence building and stuff, people who hear their name often are often more confident.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. When people address them by their name on a regular basis.
I grew up in a household where there were 5 girls. And so we got... My parents would sometimes have to list everybody else before they got to you.
Did you all have J names too?
No. Oh. Actually, no, we don't. But it is funny, because you know what's interesting about that? Because I've heard that too, right? And that's a thing in sales.
Yeah.
You know, use their name. I've never been comfortable with my name. So I'm like, it's not like I don't want to be called my name, but it's not, that whole statement has never rung true to me. Like if somebody uses my name too much, it makes me uncomfortable. So
wow.
I remember buying my VCR.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a billion years ago.
Yeah.
Buying my VCR, and the salesman kept using my name, and he annoyed me. It was just like, will you stop? Like it made me very uncomfortable. And I felt, and this was before I understood sales techniques. I was probably, when I bought my first VCR, I was probably 16, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It was either my confirmation or graduation gift. I can't remember which. And I remember being very irritated by the salesman because he kept using my name. And I'm like, you don't get to use my name. Don't call me.
Is your full name Judith?
No,
or is it, it's just Judy. It's Judy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone by Jude?
That is the nickname people call me. And that's almost more like, as a familiar thing, that's fine. That's fine with me, and that's actually weirdly more comfortable. Like I like Jude.
I'm not a really hard.
It's a close honor-ish kind of thing to me. Like, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's familiar. When somebody calls me that, it's
very familiar.
Yeah, and that's totally cool. My oldest sister, when she calls me Judith, I know that she's trying to get my attention, because I've never liked Judith.
Yeah.
Nor was it my name. So
it's just an irritation point that a sister.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's a way to poke, right?
Yeah.
So I remember hearing that, and I was like, wow, what does that mean about me? And I've never known what name I should have. Like, it's not like I'm like pining to be, you know, Beth or something. I don't have another name picked out. I don't know. It's probably.
Do you know what your name was going to be if you were a boy?
No,
I don't.
You know, it might have been Bruce.
Bruce.
My mother said that, yeah, my mom said if she had a boy, she would have named him Bruce.
Huh.
So that's probably what it would have been.
My name as a girl was supposed to be Jennifer Rebecca.
Oh, okay.
And as a boy, I was supposed to be Hunter.
Oh, interesting.
Now, so then when it came time to actually name me Jennifer Rebecca, my maiden name was Jargowski. Jennifer Rebecca Jargowski.
Okay.
My grandmother said, absolutely not. You cannot name that girl that name. And made my mother change her mind. Made her change it to Patricia.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I've gone through spells in my life where I've been called different variations of Patricia, or I've had nicknames. Like when I was a kid, I was Barney. I was my dad's barnacle. I was raised a tomboy. I was daddy's little girl.
Oh.
So that was a situation where, you know, I was supposed to be his boy.
Okay. I remember reading about this. Yeah.
And I was raised his little boy, kind of tomboyish, right? So I was Barney, and then I became Patty, and then Patty I associate with my ex-husband and a lot of bad things in my life. So then I became Queen Bee, and that was a fun time. Then when I met my husband, my current husband, I introduced myself as Patricia, and it stuck.
Ah, okay.
He's like, you introduced yourself as Patricia, and that's what I will call you. That's your given name. And my mother is elated that my name is my name now, and it's not a nickname, and it's a beautiful name.
Oh.
And it took me a while to really grab onto it, but now when people call me anything else, I'm like, no, it's Patricia.
You're a Patricia. So I met a mutual friend of ours, and she called you Patty, and I'm like, who are you talking about? I don't know this person.
Right. There's some people from my past who still, all of my medical records, like I've moved a couple of times now, and my medical records all still say Patty. So I'll go to the doctor's office, and the doctor will come in, hey, Patty, how you doing? And I'm like, I have never met you before. Why are you calling me that?
Right. Oh, wow.
And that's because they have it as my nickname on my medical records, and I cannot change it for some reason. I've called and called and tried to fix it. Nope. Nobody can change it. So anyway, that's awesome.
Wow. That is an interesting thing about name. My sister, her full name is Sandra.
Uh-huh.
And she grew up, we all called her Sandy. I still have a hard time switching to Sandra. Sorry, Sandy. And I know when she started kind of switching over to using Sandra, there was like my mom and dad not real comfortable. And I'm like, my mom had a weirdness about it. I'm like, dude, it's the name you gave her. Like, how can you even be upset about this?
So like, see, even within a gender, we have labels on us, and we have things that we outgrow, and we have things that we want to change about ourselves, and we have to fight for those things. You know, I think it's all part of growing up. I think it's all part of stepping into our awesomeness and who we are as individuals. So
Yeah.
So what an interesting conversation. I like this one. This one gets a special star.
It's
when
cool.
Gender reveals kill. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Hey, it's an interesting thing that, again, I think we're processing through as we try to suss this out, figure out how do we get comfortable? How do we get comfortable with calling people by they or not knowing if you're male or female? I mean, think of the That's
and
Pat.
Not assuming it right away.
Right. Think of the That's Pat. Did you see the That's Pat on Saturday Night Live?
No.
Oh, there was a character.
Oh, that's the way. It's an old bit, right?
It's an old bit. And it was the whole discomfort that everybody didn't know, is Pat male or female? And they try to get Pat. They'd try to, you know, so try go into the bathroom and Pat wouldn't go into the bathroom. And, you know, it's just, it is so funny because I certainly understand the comfort of knowing if people are female, male. But I don't know why. And it's only, I think really it's because it's the comfortable way that we know our roles. But when I'm in a place where I don't have to know the roles and it's not a big deal, I can be comfortable in that space too, a little bit more, but it's just, we're trying to figure this out. So this is a process for us all, but I think it's
a lot of people. Yeah.
So, all right. Woohoo.
Woot woot.
Woot woot.
Till next time.
Bye y'all.
Bye.
Oh, this is definitely a topic. There is so many different directions we could go and so many things that we could talk about and think about and take apart. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation. We would love to hear what you think about gender reveal parties, or if you've been to any, or what people did if they went above and beyond what one would expect to share the gender of their child. People can get very, very creative. What do you think? What's your take? Share on Facebook, share on the podcast website. We'd love to hear from you. If you haven't connected with us on Facebook, you can find us at Sex Matters, period. And that is the punctuation, not the word. Find us on Instagram as well. You can connect with Patricia at patriciaengelking.com and see what she's got going on. And you can find my weekly podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com or the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Please consider supporting us on Patreon and become part of our Patreon community. You can connect with that at the website. The big red button that says become a patron lets us know you're out there, that you like the work we're doing, and we definitely would take feedback as well. So please put that on the website. Supporting us financially helps keep the podcasts coming your way. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.